Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas. And you can also find me on Instagram now at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So yeah, make sure to look that up. I only put that, made that today. I had a bit of spare time at work. So yeah, give that a follow. It's Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So obviously I'm just going to, I'll see what I put out there first. I'll muck around with it over the coming weeks, and I'll get that, get episodes out there too. But anyways, today I was joined by Troy Makepeace once again. Obviously a very busy few days at the club, very tough few days for the club. I thought they've handled it pretty well today. Come back out on the front foot, squashed any speculation from Caroline Wilson and a couple other rumours as well. So good on them. It was good to get an ex-player's perspective on it all. So I won't hold you up. I'll bring on Troy right now.
All right. So I'm once again joined by Troy Makepeace. Probably good time to get you in this week with all that's happened over the last few days in particular. A lot of media. Are we a club in crisis, do you believe, Troy? Or is it just all media talk and you believe what the club are saying that there's not much to see here?
How are you, Dean?
Good, mate.
Look, I think it'd be silly of us not to look at it and go, you can see there's some sort of element leaning towards, some sort of crisis, if you want to call it that. A lot of media scrutiny obviously comes with a bit of the territory. We're not playing that well. The results, what is it, average of 10 plus goals losses, rightfully there's some criticism coming our way. I just have a bit of an issue as to where that information is coming from and the sort of legitimacy of the information. Is it 100%? Is it coming from the source or is it just someone's opinion?
Specifically, what information are you talking about? There's been a lot of information probably the last few days. Is it about David Noble and the players? Is it about, the three staff walking out and the dysfunction there? Anything in particular you're thinking about? Or is it a combination of everything?
I think, obviously, a combination of everything. You go back a couple of weeks ago, the talk about the spray, the Brisbane spray, the apology, Jason Hall Francis, flying back to Adelaide. You read the headlines and you think, wow, that doesn't sound real good. And then you listen to people in the know talk about it and you think, it's not exactly how you sort of read from the headline. So you need to sort of read into the actual information that's been given. Particularly the information that you read or that I've read in the past from Brady Rawlings, from David Noble in response to the spray, from Jack Zeeble in response to the Brisbane spray. You just get a different feel. And I understand, I don't think players and coach and football managers are going to come out and categorically say that the place is in turmoil. But when they come out, they're pretty steadfast in where they're all at and what page everyone's on, the same page. I would like to, whether I've got me North Melbourne glasses on or not, I don't know, but I'd like to look at the responses from Brady Rawlings and go, I'm happy with that, sounds right. Knowing Brady personally, that sounds, he would crap about stuff like,
100%. At the end of the day, look, I kind of feel sorry for David Noble because we don't know what the truth is, and it seems like you said, there's a lot of stuff that seems to be just throwing darts at a dartboard and seeing what sticks. There's no real source behind it. It's just sort of saying something, and there might be, like I even think you tweeted something about something that was talked about at the water fountain today or something like that. There's no substance to these stories. Like, Caroline Wilson has sort of said David King has been talking to Adam Simpson about coming down and helping the club out, and he's categorically come out and said he's got no reason to lie, and said, no, that's actually not true. I've never talked to Adam Simpson about that sort of stuff. And so you kind of wonder how credible these sources are, really, don't you? Like, and David Noble's a human being as well, and they're just – and he's an easy target because we are getting flogged every week.
Yeah.
It's making it, a hard job even harder for him, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, you mentioned Caroline Wilson. Let's use her as an example. If Caroline Wilson comes out and states, I'm not going to reveal my source, but I can tell you from a fact that I know it's from fact that, this, X, Y, and Z, this is what's happened.
Yeah.
That to me holds a little bit more water. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just read and listen to bits and pieces about Caroline Wilson, and just the wording that she uses is, The one that got me today was apparently.
Yeah. Like,
did it happen or didn't it happen? You can't come out and make a statement about a club or an occurrence at the club based on apparently or may have or may not have. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what gets me. Like, if Glenn Luff comes out tomorrow and says the place is a shambles, this is what happened. I'd be deeply concerned about what's happening at the club. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he may still do that. I don't know. But until that happens, I don't read too much into apparentlys and maybes from any reporters. Just use Caroline Wilson as an example because she was prevalent today and you brought her up just before.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that because – yeah, I mean, it doesn't hold up in a court of law. Apparently, you killed someone, or did you, or stuff like that. Yeah, and there's no apparently about it. You either did or didn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, a lot of speculation and bullshit, pretty much. And unfortunately, a lot of people, good people, have been thrown in the firing line. And like you said, Brady Rawlins is at the front of the media pretty quickly and trying to quell it. But I mean, it's almost, he's almost getting ganged up on, and a lot of supporters are questioning, if he's legit and so forth. So it makes it it makes it really hard. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's very rare you get three people resign on the same day, and there's got to be a bit of a crisis in that, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. It's not. It's absolutely not ideal. And then you listen to Brady Rawlings' response to that as well. Is it Ben? I can't pronounce his last name. Bert Perthistle.
Oh yeah, Ben. Yeah, I can be able to pronounce myself. Good.
From what I understand, from what I read, Brady's response to that is Ben had been studying while he's been working at North Melbourne in a HR capacity and has been offered an HR role at another company, another place.
Yeah.
And Brady's been working with Ben to facilitate that transition.
Yeah.
So they were aware of his likelihood of moving a few weeks ago. Yeah. Mark Finnegan being offered a role at Hawthorn, my understanding. You might be able to say that's true or not true, but that's what I understand has happened. And he's going to facilitate a move to Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And the big shock is obviously Glenn Luff. We'll say wait and see what happens or what comes, if anything comes out of in response to his resignation. So that's definitely not ideal. We've got to start from scratch in that area again. And I guess having Brady's background is recruiting and list management. So he did that over in Western Australia for the Eagles. And he even started that sort of transition from his football days at North while he was still playing.
Yeah, that's right. With the Finnegan one, I think he got offered a 3-year deal, apparently, and we weren't prepared to match that. So obviously wants a bit of long-term security as far as a job goes. He's been at the club 17 years. Might be a good time for a change. I don't know. It might have become a bit stale. Who knows? But even Ben Amafio sort of came out today, the CEO, and he said, that even he was shocked about the Glenn Luff one. He didn't see that one coming. That was pretty much the only one that shocked him. So, we don't know. You know, we can sit here and speculate as to why he might have left. But, at the end of the day, we don't know until he sort of says something. And he comes out and says, I wasn't happy there or so forth, or he wanted to do something else. I'm not too sure. Yep. So, we'll move on. We'll talk about the recruiting over the last few years. Yep. I suppose the big one that a lot of people are talking about is the Will Phillips over Logan McDonald.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't think too much of it, and I'm still not 100% sure on that one because he's had a rough run with injuries. Logan McDonald has shown patches. He had a really good game last week where he kicked 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Before that, he had a couple of good games, but he was setting the world on fire. And I looked at the rest of the draft, and it's pretty even after that anyway. So it's a bit harsh to judge that one move. Because all the rest over the last few years have been okay, as far as I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't gone into that sort of detail to look at the other ones, but the big comparison is Logan McDonald and Will Phillips. I remember when it first happened, it was a bit of a surprise because the big talk was obviously Logan McDonald was going to go to North. And I was of the opinion that what has North recruiters, what have they seen in Will Phillips that made us go down that path rather than the Logan McDonald path? And as you mentioned earlier, I don't think he's had that opportunity to show that to his full extent at this stage. And I think it's too early to make a judgment call on that one just yet. I think Logan McDonald's going to be a fantastic player. There's no doubt about that. Will it come back to bite us? Who knows? My big one in terms of recruiting is the lack of recruiting position defender, in all honesty. So,
there's glaring holes in the list build at the moment in there. There's obviously the key position defenders like Josh Walker, Aiden Corr, and Ben McKay. They pretty much pick themselves when they're fit and healthy. No crumbing forward. I mean, besides Phoenix Spicer, I don't really see another one there. That's probably the biggest issue, isn't it? Those probably couple spaces, and we've probably got a lot of undersized midfielders. What do you do, I suppose? At the time, we sort of we didn't say too much, and now that it's come to the fore that we've got a percentage of 50-odd and we're struggling again this year, there's a lot of talk about that. What about players that we've signed as far as trades? Well, Callum Coleman-Jones is probably the biggest talk. We've already got Todd Goldstein, Tristan Sherry. They're pretty happy to play. Jacob Edwards. What did you see the reasoning behind that, like looking at that now?
I'll ask you a question. Do you look back on that now and think, did they not expect Sherry to be there, one? And if they did expect Sherry to be there, has he surprised everyone with how well he's gone, how well he did in the preseason, and almost to a point of taking over the number one rucking mantle?
Yeah, I think he has. I think that game, I think the second practice match against Sydney where Callum Coleman-Jones was a late out and Tristan Sherry came in and played a really good game of football, which kind of forced the issue. And I remember that round one game, we tried to play all three and it didn't work. And Tristan Sherry played pretty well that round one game too. So they kind of squeezed him out. I mean, I could sort of understand it in that Todd Goldstein, this would probably be his last year at the club, you'd have to think, being 34 years old, not going to be part of the next finals team, you'd have to think at this stage.
Yeah.
But, they see him as the replacement and Tristan, or even as a forward, maybe, and they can go into the ruck. So you could sort of understand it from that point of view. But, it's a strange one to give a long-term deal and pretty much waste 1 year of it. It's a lot of money, isn't it, to waste a big recruit?
It is. I just think they just weren't expecting Sherry to have the impact he has and on the other hand, expecting Callum Coleman-Jones to have a bigger impact than what he's had. It might be a bit more of a steep learning curve for Coleman-Jones to come in to a new system, whereas Sherry's had a few years in the system and can transition a bit easier to the senior ranks. So it might be a bit of a learning curve for Coleman Jones and maybe the 12 months used to get settled. And as you said, if Goldstein's not going to be there next year, I think you would think that they'd likely go with a two-pronged attack of Coleman Jones and Sherry, with Sherry being the number one ruckman.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're both, I think he's out of contract as well, Tristan Sherry. So, but, you know, they had the option of trading him last year because St Kilda were very keen. So, yeah, they obviously saw something in him and decided to keep him for an extra year, and it's probably worked out okay at the moment.
So, I think it's probably worked out pretty good to him. I think his value's gone up a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's right. So, and even if he decided to go at the end of the year, if you get a couple of teams, then you can still trade him because he's not a free agent. So, we can, I guess, see what happens with that. What about Jaden Stevenson? How have you seen him so far?
I think like quite a few North supporters would have liked to see a bit more. I think my personal little issue with Jaden Stevenson is just the gap between his really good games and his not so good games is too big at the moment. If he can, obviously, you know, players aren't going to play 100% awesome 100% of the time. They're going to have some down parts. And unfortunately, I think his down parts at the moment is just a too big a gap to his good games. If he can, be a bit more consistent, and the gap between his good and bad is narrowed, I think he can be a very good player for us. But it hasn't sort of panned out that way as yet. I hope it does, because I think he's a very good player.
There's a lot of talent there. There's no doubt about it. And I thought it was a good move at the time. Like, Collingwood sold low on him, and I thought, you get a 21-year-old who's had one poor season, a former, Rising Star Award winner. I thought, I was very happy with the recruit at the time. It's just, talking about consistency, you were one of the most consistent players for, over 100 games when you played at the club. How does he find that consistency?
I think it comes from what do you do well when you're playing well?
Yeah.
What is your go-to? Are you a fierce tackler? Are you a overlap runner? Are you a in and under type player? Like, what's your go-to that whatever happens, other else happens during a game, what do you get you into a game? And I think if he hasn't found something that he can fall back on, if he can find that issue or find that, or whatever you want to call it, that he can fall back on and just go to consistently, I think that can breed a bit more consistency in his game, a bit more consistency in his foot. It just gives him a focus that if something's not going right, I'm going to aim to get five tackles in a half, or, if something's not right, I'm going to go for 10 run past a quarter and try and get myself into a game that way. Or there's just got to be something he needs to fall back on to get himself into a game more consistently and quicker, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Because, when he's good, he's very good. Like, we've seen that game against West Coast last year where he pretty much won us the game. He had 30-odd touches, kicked three goals or something like that. And, we'd love to see more of that. And I think that's where the frustration begins. We just don't see it consistently enough because we know the talent's there. And you tend to be a bit more frustrated as a supporter with players that are talented and they just don't produce it consistently enough. But, it is what it is. And we had got Artu Bosman-Vlaghi, who was the throw-in in that deal, so we can't really say much about him or anything negative about him. With all the negativity from the media in the last few days, the last few weeks, really, how can we make that go away? Like, is it pretty much as simple as that?
We're going to win that. Again, listening to Caroline Wilson, and she has a point, about cheering or clapping at half time because you're five goals behind or whatever, or clapping at the end of the game because you only lost by seven goals. I think that she has a point to that, but my response to that would be maybe we're not clapping because we're happy with how we went, that we only lost by 8 goals. Maybe we're clapping because we can see that for once, last week, we could see clear direction, we could see clear game plan, and we're just getting behind the players and say, yep, you're on the right track. We can see that you're doing that. We're not clapping you because you did well. We're clapping you because we're behind you.
Yeah, and I was at the game last week, and I clapped off at half time, and you know, it was more just, you know, it was just an encouragement thing that basically saying we are behind you. If you put in the effort, yeah, we'll get behind you, and that's all it was. It wasn't, you know, we weren't, you know, going nuts or anything like that. I like to stand up anyway at half time because, you know, legs get a bit stiff and so forth. So I can't sit down for too long, but it was basically that was it. In saying that, there wasn't many people there last week. It was only 13,400, I think it was. Is that a bit of a concern as well?
Yeah, most absolutely.
Of them were the Melbourne supporters.
Yeah, it is. That's the other side of it as well. If we're going to be behind our club, we're going to support our club and go through this tough time. I think we need to, get bums on seats and get there and show support in a physical sense to show these other people that we're fair dinkum and that we're going to turn it around as a whole. It's hard. You can imagine how hard it is for the players copping this week in, week out. As supporters, we cop it as well. We cop it at work. We cop it at the pub. You know, we cop it at kids. Cop it at the playground at school. And you know, until you get the results on the board, it's not going to go away. And if we collectively, I know it's hard. It's hard to turn up to a game where you've been struggling for 10 weeks and you want to get a win, especially against a top side that hasn't lost in 15, 16 games. Yeah. It's hard to turn up and be satisfied because you want to get value for your money. And unfortunately, in these tough times, we just got to push through it and turn up and support the boys as much as possible.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't have said it any better myself. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want a good performance and you want them to lift, then you know, you've got to be there and you know, give them that extra, that 19th man, as they say, because. Yeah. Yeah, they really need the help at the moment. So, you know, they're human beings like all of us at the end of the day. So, you know, they sometimes need help. So, you know, we can't just expect them to do it when we're not doing it ourselves and turning up. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Yeah, we'll see how we go over the next few weeks. So, have you seen the whole Noble situation? Do you feel sorry for him a bit? Because I do.
I do. And because the commentary around the whole thing has rarely been about what he's said.
Yeah.
It's about what people think.
Yeah.
I think that's what's unfair about it. I think if you're going to question someone in that position as critically as what he's being questioned, I think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt that, you appreciate his response and take it for his word, that's where it's at until it gets proven otherwise. And, you know, I'm glad that he's come out today and he was pretty animated in his press conference this morning and really stood by everyone at the club and sort of really pushed the narrative that, you know, they're all on the one page and all heading in the right direction. And, we got to go through this rough time and you know, the positives hopefully will come out at some stage at a later date, sooner rather than later, hopefully.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this whole talk about the players, some players aren't happy, but that's I feel like that's part of a football club anyway. I remember Dennis Pagan saying in the 90s that 10 blokes are happy, 6 blokes are unhappy, and then a status quo changes. Like you would have even been playing, and I'm sure you would have seen some players probably you know that weren't happy at the club, but they're probably questioning why they aren't playing senior football and so forth. It's just part of football, and it's harder when you're losing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I could just in my own personal experience in my last year at the club, you know, where I was in and out of the seniors throughout the year, and it's not. I never had verbal altercation. I never had any altercation or anything with Dean Laidley whatsoever. It was he was the coach. I was the player. He didn't want me to play one week, and he wanted me to play the next week. But there was not one time, and whether I was happy with that or not, is another thing. You know, I was obviously disappointed about not playing, but I can 100% tell you there was not one time where I went out and tried any less just because he was the coach and just because I was unhappy with him not picking me some weeks. You know, I went out and played 100% every week, regardless of who my coach was at the time. So I can guarantee I'd be very, very disappointed if any of the players on the list at the moment aren't pulling their weight because they're not happy with the coach. I think that would say a lot about their character. And, you know, you've got to take Jack Siebel on his word that, you know, the players are right behind Nobes and Nobes is right behind the players, and we got to push forward and push through this.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good example, like your playing career. But like that last year in particular. Especially the year before, you had a really good year, consistent year. And, all of a sudden you found yourself on the fringes. And if these players, if there's certain players that aren't giving it their best effort on a Saturday or whatever they play, whether it's seniors or reserves, they're not going to find, football's a very short career, lasts a very short time, and they won't get an opportunity elsewhere, will they?
No, it won't look very good. Excuse me, on their side of things. So, I mean, the criticism about the players that were brought in that you mentioned earlier is that we brought them in, paying them money, like you said, but they're not playing, and they're not playing for the 17th place team at the moment. So, there's a criticism there. So it's what are those guys going to do away from the senior team that can get them back in the senior team and get them on the right path? So that's a big challenge for those guys at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, we're starting to get a few players back from injury as well. So there is a little bit of competition for spots now. I mean, we had three or four come back last week. So, hopefully that continues the second half of the year because that'll make us more competitive, hopefully, in the second half of the year anyway.
We just got to keep pushing forward. I know people are probably sick of how long are you going to say you're going to before you actually do something about it, and that's the big question, isn't it? Will click. Who knows when?
That's it. Well, hopefully this week that will be ideal. That'll probably keep critics a bit quieter. We'll go to Jack Siebel. His 250th game's been overshadowed a little bit by everything else that's happened. How have you seen his career at North?
Fantastic. Great leader, and I think he really leads by example on the field through his actions, leads by example off the field. You can just tell by the way he talks to the media, by the way, my kids have been lucky enough to do a couple of father-son academy days, and he's, forthcoming with his time with the boys, or with all the boys in that academy, making them feel welcome. And you can just tell he has that aura about him when you're around him. And I think, he's been a phenomenal player. 250 games at any level is a fantastic effort. And he'll go down as one of the greats for the club.
Yeah. Do you think there's a possibility he could get to 300?
Possibility.
With how he's played this year, it's been a bit up and down. He has gone back forward. Yeah. Do you think there's any chance he can get 50 more games?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? It's with him, with Goldie, there has to come a time, unfortunately, where you need to pass the baton. And I don't think he would want to make that call, and I don't think the coach would want to make that call. I think we've seen in the past with some players, they've tried to stay on and stay on. And I'm not talking just North Melbourne players, any AFL player in general, that unfortunately, they sort of fall away halfway through the year, and it sort of puts a bit of a dampener on their whole career. And
yeah,
I think there's no, yeah, it's about finding the right time to say, yep, my time here is done. And I think only Jack will know that.
Yeah. He's always been a team first sort of individual as well. Speaks really well with the media. You know, he fronts up, and you know, even the way he's handled himself the last couple of weeks, under a lot of scrutiny. You know, the club's been under a lot of scrutiny. He's just performed admirably, and that shows how much of a great leader he is. He'll probably look at the end of the year. I'm sure he'll pass on the torch to either Jai Simpkin or Luke McDonald. And he'll be a good mentor for him, and yeah, pass on plenty of advice. So yeah, I mean. We've seen him play forward pretty much the whole year. Have you seen that? Because I thought he was quite good in the back line last year for us.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
It's a real tough one because it comes down to matchups. If he's down back, if he gets the wrong matchup, then he can be exposed a little bit.
Yeah.
But if he gets the right matchup, he can set up play really well. And the same thing when he goes forward, if he can get the right mismatch, which we saw in Sydney, and he can be quite a damaging player. But then, if he gets the right matchup from the opposition's point of view, he can almost go missing a little bit. So that's a real tough one. I don't think he's at the level to be in the midfield like he used to be. It's a matter of maybe this week we got to put him forward because of this matchup, and this week we got to put him back because of this matchup. So,
What do you make of Kingy's comment last week that sort of saying he wouldn't get a game at 17 other clubs? I thought it was a bit harsh.
yes. It's an understanding of where we're at as a club. Yeah. Like we need him at the moment. We need him to provide that leadership. We need him to play those roles that he's been playing. Whether that does or doesn't get him a game at another club, it's a tough one to
make. That's all odds on it, isn't it? So.
It is, and it's all hypotheticals, you're putting him up against, who knows that depending on what club you're looking at. So it's a really tough one to say, yes, he'll get a game there or no, he won't, because you don't know what the needs and wants of those particular clubs are.
No, exactly right. At the end of the day, he's at our club, and he's a fantastic guy and a fantastic character. And I've been a fantastic leader from the club's point of view for a long time as well. So, good on him. And hopefully we can put in a good performance for him this week.
Historically, we've had good games in milestone games. So hopefully this week can be another one, and wish him all the best.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, we're usually pretty good in those types of games. So it would be nice if we can get a milestone game to every player every week. But it doesn't work like that, unfortunately. I don't know how much you've seen of the Demons game last week. It was very much the opposite of what we've been doing. We played a very uncontested, chip sort of game. I think we're minus 500 and something as far as uncontested possessions go before last round, which is 18th. And we won the uncontested possession count by about 43 last week. How did you see it? Is that a step forward?
Liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it gave us time to set up the play. And in the opposite, it took time away from the opposition having their hands on the footy. Yeah. I'm not saying we need to win by 40 in the uncontested ball each week, but if we, I think we spoke last time, you mentioned the stat about, losing by uncontested footy by 100. Like that's... Yeah. Five extra midfielders you got running around getting uncontested ball, we needed to fix that big time. I'm glad we did. Still a few unforced errors, critical turnovers at critical times. But I think on the flip side, there was some really nice patient build-ups of play as well. We were able to pick our way through, and then I think there were times, you know, where we transferred the ball from one side to the other, still in our back 50, and then back to the other side again, and then things opened up. Sometimes you just need to be patient. And the big challenge, the big challenge this week will be St Kilda will be ready for that now.
That's right.
So we need to be ready to counter what they're going to counter with, if that makes sense. So have a plan B in place and be prepared to work really hard off the ball to get those players free, to still get those uncontested possessions, because I think that should be a way going forward. Be patient, have the build up, and pick your moment to pull the trigger to go forward.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, pick your moment when you can go down a corridor when they are defending the wings too much. Yeah, it was good because we did look more, you know, along the boundary a little bit and force, you know, worst case scenario, force another stoppage.
Yeah, that's right. Which we're okay with. So, yeah, it was too bad. We got sort of opened up a little bit in the first quarter, I think, first quarter and a half. Clayton Oliver got on top of us in the middle, but then I thought we worked our way back into it in the clearances. So, yeah. And to be 6 points down halfway through the third quarter, yeah, you look at those turnovers we talk about in the first quarter, first half, two or three critical, to, you know, basic turnovers, the one that went straight to Fritsch. Snapped over the shoulder for a goal.
Yeah.
Couple of free kicks could have gone our way, but didn't. They go our way next time. You know, you're turning a 6 point deficit halfway through the third quarter into maybe a two or three goal lead, and making things really difficult for a good side. So that's a tick. But yeah, obviously the downside is we give up a 7 or 8 goal last quarter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, yeah, in the end, it was a comprehensive win, but, yeah, we kind of just ran out a bit of steam in the end. Maybe it's got a lot to do with belief as well. Maybe the players just don't believe they can win against the top-quality Melbourne team. So,
Maybe you're right.
Yeah. How'd you see the umpiring?
The umpiring? I went back and watched the first quarter because I was involved with local footy. And that game was sort of finishing up as the North game had started. So I missed the first quarter and a bit, and then I had to go into work that night as well. So I was sort of only able to watch bits and pieces. So when I had time, I went back and watched the first quarter, and I was really impressed with the way we played. As I mentioned, I thought the Taron Thomas tackle was okay.
It's fair.
It was fair. I really don't see what Thomas could have done differently. If that happened while Langdon's feet were on the ground, would we see it the same way? And that's in no way stating that Thomas caused Langdon to be in the air. Like Langdon jumped to get the ball.
Right.
And there was no malice in the tackle either. And the other one that caught my eye was the Aiden Corr free kick against down the other end of the ground in the second quarter, where the ball got kicked over his head. As he's turned, he's made contact with McDonald, and umpires deemed somehow that that was a free kick, and they get another goal from that. So the other one was the LDU free kick in the middle of the ground.
Oh, the 50s.
The free kick itself, I've seen. I'd hate to be a defender these days. can't get away with anything. And forwards, you know, I'm going to whinge as a whinging defender and say forwards get everything. Yeah, defenders get nothing. I thought if that happened in the forward line to a key forward, I think he would have got away with that being a mark.
Yeah.
50 metres, okay, I can see what the umpire was doing there, but really, was he wasting time?
Yeah.
If he threw that underarm and it went the same height, would it still have been 50 metres? Or do you think it was just the basketball-type action that made it look worse?
No, I couldn't see that far. I thought he just threw it underarm, to be honest with you. That's the first I know about it. Because, I mean, that's been like happening. At the end of the day, if you throw it underarm, it's still going to probably go the same way. And players have been doing that for 100 years, throwing it that slow to the opposition team.
Yeah, I know that. I'm pretty sure at the start of the year they've come out and said to the umpires, be stricter on players that have given up a free kick or whatnot. They need to get the ball back to the player quicker. And I'm pretty sure in terms of throwing the ball back, if you had to throw the ball back, it had to go, I think the term they use had to go straight to the player. Does that mean, you know, straight and flat, or because it went straight to him, but just he put a bit of a loop on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's three goals that they get that we don't.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like you said, it's a different ball game. You never know; you could be in front by a goal or two, and they might be panicking. But who knows? So, yeah, it's just one of those things, I suppose. Hopefully, well, there's been a lot of talk about the umpires this week as well. Apart from us, the Lockie Neal one.
No, that's right. Yeah, it's not just a North Melbourne thing, is it?
No. Lockie Neal one was a shocker. The Sydney Swans player, I think it was Warner. Didn't run 15 metres and just put – he didn't show descent and got given a 50-metre penalty against
him. No, I couldn't believe that one.
Yeah. Your mate Brett Scott doing a great job. So.
Why is he buying that?
Oh, no, it was just us doing it. I've seen the tweet you put out a few weeks ago about him. So, yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there as a bit of a cheeky swat.
Yeah, that's a lot of cheeky swat.
Yeah, no, fair enough too. We'll talk about the team changes for this week. There's only three players that have come in. They've all gone to the extended bench. Jack Marnie, Jackson Archer, Jaden Stevenson have all come in. Would you like to see any of those players come in, or are you happy with the 22 that played last week?
Yeah, good question. So the 22 that played last week held their own. Like I said, I watched bits and pieces. None really stood out, as in, you know, in terms of, no, that he shouldn't be playing this week. I think if you have that sort of effort and with the intent to obviously improve on that this week, I think you've got to have confidence in that group that, okay, go out and do it again. Back it up. Don't. Yeah. Show it's just a one-off thing, and if you're going to show it's just a one-off thing, then we'll put someone else in next week that's going to have a crack and go from there. But if they've done the right thing and played the way that you wanted to play, you just need to sustain it for four quarters and give them another opportunity to do that and make a call on it after that. But great to see Jackson Archer's name getting put up there on a regular basis.
He's been named three times now, I think. Like, he's been emergency twice.
He's obviously doing the right thing at VFL level. Haven't had the chance really to have a good look at the VFL team on a regular basis. So haven't really seen him play too much. But, yeah, if he's getting his name put up there, it's fantastic to see. Yeah. Jaden Stevens, as we mentioned before, I hope he comes back and puts some consistent quarters, consistent games together. And Jack Marnie, you know what you're going to get with Jack Marnie when his pressure's on. It's just when he has those off days. What's his fallback option? So that's the question mark I have over Jack. But yeah, whether those three or one of those three get a game this week, I don't know. But yeah, I'll be happy with the same 22 that went out last week, as long as they have a red hot crack.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably see maybe one coming in. Maybe Jack Marnie comes in for Paul Curtis or something. You know. Similar type of player, you know, defensive, not defensive, better pressuring forward, a like for like. But yeah, other than that, maybe Stevenson comes in, I'm not too sure. Yeah, it might be, I'd say they go with pretty much the same 22. And we don't know how certain players are trained during the week and so forth. So,
that's right.
We'll see how we go anyway. So, how do you see?
Can I just jump in?
One
I want to advocate for is Charlie Condon. I'd love to see, and I've said this on a few occasions, I'd love to see someone help out Nick Larkey to be that second tall forward. And I know Zerha's in some fantastic form at the moment, so I'm not going to take anything away from him at all. But I think Larkey and a combination could almost free up Zerha even more.
Yeah, 100%.
So anyway, that's my personal opinion, but yeah.
Well, he's had knee soreness, so he's missed a couple of games in the VFL. He's played one out of the last three in the VFL. They had a bye last week, so he'd probably, they only have one game in 4 weeks, so probably say, oh, we'll get him back in the reserves hopefully this week and hopefully he can get a good run at it for a number of weeks, because he hasn't had much luck with injury, has he?
Nah. Well, maybe they're saying get a couple of good weeks in, then the AFL team will have a bye, and then if you do the right thing, we'll put you in straight after that. Who knows? Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully, it's nothing too serious with his knee. It's a little bit of a concern because he's had a bit of an injury history, and to miss two of the last 3 weeks in the VFL is probably I guess you've got to be cautious with him. So there's no real rush. How do you see this week against the Saints going? Now, are you confident that we can, after all the turmoil that we've copped, that we can even possibly cause an upset? Jack Zeeble's 250th as well.
Yeah. If the boys can't get motivated for this game, I think there might. Obviously, the week that in terms of the media scrutiny, the resignations of the three recruiting officers, and then throwing on top of that, you got Jack Siebel's 250th, a player highly regarded at the club. Mm-hmm. It should be no extra motivation needed other than that. Am I confident? Well, the last 10 weeks haven't filled, to be honest, haven't filled me with confidence. I was a little bit confident after the Sydney game. I just wanted them to back it up. Unfortunately, they didn't. They had a red-up crack last week against Melbourne. I wanted to back it up again this week because that's where that consistency needs to come from. Just that effort needs to be backed up week after week after week. Yeah. So if they bring the effort, they're halfway there. Like I said earlier, I think St Kilda's going to be more prepared for our tactics and for our game plan more than what Melbourne were, because there was a vast difference between the previous games to Melbourne and then the actual Melbourne game. So I think St Kilda will be more prepared for that.
Yeah.
And then St Kilda will have that added motivation as well to go, we're coming up against a team that struggled for the first 10 weeks. We're coming up against a team that's going to be, that has been absolutely hammered in the media for the last 2 weeks. These North boys are going to be hungry. We need to be ready for that. So that's a small concern I have going forward, is that I think we're going to come up against St Kilda team that is not only a very good team, but is going to be a team that has motivation that we need to be prepared for. Otherwise, it might not work out the way that we would like.
It hasn't worked out exactly how we would have liked, probably, like you said, the last 10 weeks. So, I mean, it's an interesting one. Very good points. Look, I think the effort was pretty much there last week. I mean, it fell away probably towards the end, and I think that they were just a bit too good. They've got a lot of classic players.
Yeah.
But I still, you look at our champion data pressure rating, it was consistent throughout the four quarters last week, and that's probably got a lot to do with having possession of the ball as well instead of not having possession. So, they can prepare in probably thinking, but they're probably quite happy for us to chip it around as well. And, because last week we only had 34 inside 50s, and I think that's got to be an improvement this week. We've got to sort of get those inside 50 count a bit higher up and put their defenders a bit more under pressure, don't we?
Yeah, I agree. So with the low inside 50s, we actually scored a few more goals than what we have in the past as well, hadn't we?
Yeah, well, 13 scoring shots out of 34 inside 50s is a better return, that's for sure. Yeah. That's going at over 40% as opposed to, I think it was 34%. 33% or something like that before that. So, it's better. So, that's a good point. I mean, it's about how you get those inside 50s rather than actually just bombing to three or four on what against Larky or something like that.
I said, we just need to get more of them.
Yeah, 100%. So, we'll see how we go. So, what's your final prediction for Sunday, Troy?
1 point win.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Four quarter effort. I think we'll see a four quarter effort this week. There's the motivation of we had a crack against Melbourne. We need to get better. We need to keep improving on the field to show that what we're talking about off the field is what's actually happening on the field. So that's what I'd like to see. Look, it's going to be hard. Yeah, St Kilda are a good side. We're not a side in form. We can be. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to win. Simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I want a 1-point win because it's not good for my heart. So, yeah, I don't need to go 200 beats a minute for the last 2 minutes of the game. But, maybe 13-point win or something like that. So, we'll see how we go. Did you want to add anything else, Troy, before I let you go?
I will add just what I've been saying in the past, Dean, is that stick with us, everyone. We'll get there. We'll get there. These tough times will make the good times very good.
Yeah, 100%. You've got to go through the darkness, as they say, to get to the light. So, yeah. And if Sonia Hood is listening, are you happy to throw your resume in as on the recruiting team?
Why not?
That's it. Get on board. There's a few positions available, so yeah, you might. That sounds good.
As I said before, I'll do it by correspondence.
Sounds good, mate. That'll be good. So just get more midfielders and don't worry about key position defenders. No. They're overrated anyway.
Don't need them.
No, they cop free kicks anyway all the time. So it's all overrated. Yeah. All right, Troy. Thanks very much for coming on. I've kept you up long enough.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
No dramas at all, mate. You take care and hopefully your son feels better too.
So thanks to Troy for coming on the show. Yeah, like I said at the start of the show, a lot to discuss. Obviously a big few days for the club, probably the biggest few days for a number of years. Pretty much probably 20-odd years, I think, for the club. A lot of rumours, a lot of speculation. I mean, it's the biggest news story we've had in over the last few days since the whole Carey thing, I would have thought. I mean, we've had relocation talk as well a number of years ago. So, but that probably didn't even cop as much media. I mean, it's a lot different now. There's obviously social media is very popular. But, even a relocation talk didn't cop as much media as this probably did. So, it was good to talk to Troy about this. And get a few things off our chest, I guess, at the end of the day. Anyways, that's it for this show. Don't forget to like, subscribe to the show. Give it a follow. Give me a follow on Instagram at hashtag Kangaroos Podcast as well. Just search that. You can obviously find me at hashtag Kangas on Twitter. Not hashtag Kangaroos, hashtag Kangas. Almost over 1,000 followers, I believe. So that's great work to all you followers. All your followers on there for me. So, I really appreciate it. Anyways, I will be back next week. We'll do a bit of a review of the performance against St Kilda. Hopefully, good performance. Hopefully, we can bounce back. Not bounce back. Hopefully, we can just, get something, I guess, other than, a flogging. It was a big improvement last week. So, hopefully we can keep taking steps forward at least this week. So, we'll see how we go. That's it. I've got nothing else to say. I've talked enough shit for tonight. Anyways, I will leave a shout out to John Seals Baird. Bye for now.